7th, Mr. Irrelevant, Mr. Irrelevant 2022, with the 262nd pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Brock Purdy, a quarterback from Iowa State. Go Niners!
We're not hard on Brock.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
Man, don't forget, make sure you subscribe to the Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast. Sam Love and Joe Shasky bring you the best damn Giants talk in the Bay Area, period. The Giants did lose yesterday to the Mets, but they did win the series. Subscribe today on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you like to listen to your podcast, because tomorrow, Sam Loveman, he had a chat with Jordan Hicks. He's going to make the podcast. Ah, Jordan Hicks, Sam Loveman.
Oh,
how about that?
God. Here's a little teaser. The greatest slump buster of all time? Just put Sean Jelly on the mound.
Oh, my gosh.
Next question.
Francisco Lindor has been basically one of the biggest disappointments. Defensively, he's amazing. Amazing. But offensively, he's been one of the biggest disappointments in signing his $320 or $25 million deal with the New York Mets and being traded for a couple years ago. And the guy's been such a deep freeze, and he hit not one but two home runs yesterday. He looked phenomenal.
I know. He smoked that second one. 414 feet.
Look,
smoked it.
I know
Sean Jelly's a batting practice pitcher.
Bonte, I know there's a lot of money left on that deal, and I know that he has not hit. Believe me, I know he has not hit. If he ever became available and someone needed to, I would take a swing on Francisco Lindor.
I would too. Maybe he needs to go back to the American League.
He's a grinder. He's a great player.
Maybe he needs to go back to the American League.
Some guys just need to not play in New York.
Yeah, or New York, or in the National League. I don't know. New York. The Mets is weird. Like, they're... It's a weird situation.
It really
What's up with that franchise? It just seems like you go there, you want to be better than the Yankees, you want to get all the headlines. It's like the NBA, right? If you're going to go to New York, go play for the Knicks, not the Nets.
Think of how many guys they've overpaid who stink. Jason Bay, Bobby Bonilla. Like, there's just over and over and over, I think, of all these guys who go there and do nothing.
The Mets are just like the Jets. They're like kindred spirits out in New York.
It's so true.
And the New York Giants are like the Yankees.
Yep.
But I will say this. There are certain Mets who I respect over almost. Like, David Wright, I hold in the highest of regards.
Just couldn't stay healthy.
I know, but he was a great ball player.
Stay healthy.
And you know what? I when they put up on the list, Mike Piazza hit like 250 something home runs for them.
He was great for them.
I didn't realize how long he played for them.
He was great for them.
Oh, he was amazing.
He was amazing for them. Howard Johnson back in the day.
Oh,
remember
Joe.
That baseball? Remember that guy? But even Cliff Floyd has some years for him.
Carlos Delgado.
Deltron was really good there for
Delgado was so sick for them.
Matt Harvey, when he burst on
Matt
the
Harvey,
scene.
He looked like
he was about to take that city over.
The DeGrom, Matt Harvey, and then Syndergaard, they were legit.
Yeah,
and then Stephen Matz, the lefty.
The greatest, I think, one of my favorite from our childhood. Obviously, Doc Gooden's going to come to mind, the Straw.
Johan.
John Franco.
I was going to say John Franco earlier. I was going to say John Franco. But he got that call against Barry Bonds in the NLDS in Game 2 when JT Snow hit the home run, struck out Barry. Nah. Forget John
Franco. Not P-Town's own Keith Hernandez?
I love Keith Hernandez, but Keith Hernandez is also a Cardinal. Like, he's on a lot of different teams for me.
Johan Santana was really good, folks. He was
really good. 1 year, couple years. He had a couple good years with them, actually.
Another pitcher who was really good.
Tom Glavine, when he went there.
Tom Glavine was okay there. Yeah, he got the big money deal from the Braves. He was okay. You know, speaking of Tom Glavine and the Braves, Greg Maddux. Think about this on the way in. Maybe I'm off base with
350
this.
350-game
winner. You would know this more.
Yeah.
But that Logan Webb start the other day, we didn't talk a lot about it.
Uh-huh.
But the way he was mowing down the Mets and the way he's been dealing the first month of the season, you get a little Greg Maddux vibes.
Well, the ball movement, clearly, on the
like, and the grounders. Yes, like, Greg Maddux would get grounder after grounder after grounder. He would just work quick, economical.
Look, I know we hate this guy now, just Giants fans in general. LeVon Hernandez used to move the ball the way Greg Maddux does. It's just an old-school way of doing it. And I know we don't think of him that way, but go back and watch early LeVon Hernandez.
Oh, yeah, that ball was moving.
The ball was moving all over.
I mean,
dive, cut, like, everything.
It was moving 6 inches off the plate that game. Against the Braves in the playoffs, but Eric Gregg, rest in peace, was all over it. But no, he was.
But it's interesting
really
you reference that, because I When I talk to kids at the youth level, I say, do you know who is one of the greatest pitchers of all time that no one ever talks about?
Greg Maddux.
Greg Maddux. He won 350 games.
I know.
He won his 350th against the Giants. I believe he was a Cub. He went, or he was a Dodger or a Cub. He went back to back and forth. He won 350 against the Giants. He never threw harder than 92.
Nope. Never.
But it was about command and keeping you off balance. Yep. That was the art of pitching.
Work the corners. I get a little Greg Maddux.
I like that. No, I like that a lot.
I didn't know if I was off base with it, but the other Greg. Yeah, because Greg Maddux was just.
But the way they approach a bat is exactly it. Here, the art of pitching is guys will make themselves out. Yep. You know what I mean? Let him put it in play. You know, when you want to rack up strikeouts, you rack up high pitch counts.
Yep. No doubt. No doubt about that. Back to the draft. Just talk about hypothetical. You said something before we get to Rolando and Napa about the NFL draft. Who's your draft crush, folks? It's 888-957-9570.
What a day. It's one of my favorite days
draft
on the calendar.
Day. The Niners have 10 picks. Who's a guy that you want the Niners to target, Niner fans, as we move forward? Because, look, now's the time to officially turn the page on last season. That's how I'm using today. It's a springboard to get me excited for the 2024 season.
All right.
What happened in Las Vegas? We'll never get over it. But at some point, we got to pick ourselves up off the ground and say, you know what? It's time to move forward. And today, to me, is the official day. The time to move forward and dream about something big again. We may get heartbroken again. Who the hell knows? We can handle it because we'll be back. We'll be at training camp. And you think about what Lynch and Shanahan has done with this team. It's just think about us going to training camp practices. When they arrived in 2017, nobody was going to training camp. Nobody was going to those games. You get tickets for $20 at Levi's Stadium. And you were thinking, boy, this is going to be an uphill battle for Shanahan and Lynch. A first-time GM, a first-time head coach.
Yeah.
How quickly? Like, I think we would have all accepted, hey, if you don't make the playoffs for the first 3 years, it's fine. We understand.
Yeah.
But can you improve? By year two, going into year two, we already had expectations of going to the playoffs.
Crazy.
Because of Shanahan and Lynch and the quarterback at the time, Jimmy Garoppolo, made us all believe for a second. We know that belief quickly dissipated after an ACL injury, but that's a quick aside.
But people, you have to go back and remember, we all were hyped.
Hyped.
We all were hyped.
Hyped after the Jacksonville game, the Tennessee game, everything.
The Jimmy
And now you think about where the Niners are at. Business is booming.
I know.
Guys want sideline passes. Celebrities are coming up to Levi's Stadium. Steve Young is tweeting nonstop about the Niners. I mean, you can't get enough of 49er football. And today the draft, that is basically centered around Brandon Ayuk. What the hell? What the hell do they do with Brandon Ayuk? But at the end of the day, do you trust them to make the right decision? Shanahan and Lynch. And I think they have earned our trust. They have. Whether we like it or not, we trust Lynch and Shanahan to make the right move. We'll be behind them. But before the break, we were playing this wild hypothetical game.
Just having fun.
You know, having fun. What would Brock Purdy's value be if the Niners offered him up in the trade or whatnot? I don't know what his value will be, but you had
I really
else.
Don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know what his value would be, but you were like, hey, Joe, would you take Caleb Williams if you had the number one pick, or would you trade down? I'd probably trade down just because I believe in Brock Purdy. Like, even though I love Caleb Williams, I mean, the reality is you're hoping he's as good as Brock Purdy, if not better, right? Yep. You're hoping. You still got to go out and do it. And look, this might not age well.
Proven talent over prospects all day.
Yeah.
That's basically what you're
doing. And this might not age well. I mean, like, he could have a C.J. Stroud-like year, which a lot of people didn't see coming. And this is going to sound really dumb. And then Purdy has a bad year. But, like, I'm going off what I know now. I'd probably end up trading down. And as I think about it here, and I'm thinking about all the prospects, whether number one through whatever you want, coming into the league. I'm talking about coming into the league. There's really only one guy coming into the league that I would take without a doubt, because I was so convinced he was going to win a Super Bowl and be a 15-year quarterback. And even then, I was wrong.
Mm.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
I was the biggest Andrew Luck fan. I went and saw him as a freshman, a sophomore, and a junior down at Stanford. And I thought that he was Peyton Manning with more movement, an even better arm.
Manning times Tom Brady?
I'm talking about cerebrally, like pre-snap and what he could do. I just thought he threw guys open. I mean, he was throwing to like Griff Whalen, for Christ's sake. And he looked phenomenal. Think about how high people held Trevor Lawrence in regard. And I was like, I thought he was a great prospect, as a prospect, heading in. And even then, I was a little skeptical. How's Trevor Lawrence look? Like, no, there's reasons why. He's in a bad situation.
And just at times.
No, I'm saying he inherited a bad situation.
Yeah.
You know, like, he hasn't come close to looking like Brock Purdy. You know? Now, Brock has a better situation.
Flashes. Yeah, he's had flashes, though. He's had flashes.
Brock's been pretty damn good.
Brock has been good. Brock has. I don't want to diminish Trevor Lawrence, but he has, so far, still, is he going to get that
I'll
next contract?
I'll give you
contract?
The moments. I'll you give know, you the
he's
moments.
He's had moments. He won a division title. I mean, the Urban Meyer, your cassette young quarterback, back tremendously.
And no doubt.
Doug Peterson to the rescue.
Yeah,
you know?
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, and he went to a literal expansion franchise at the time. I mean, they had Josh Allen, that was it, the defensive end guy. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, like, 9 times out of 10, I'm keeping Brock Purdy and taking him because he's only 23, 24 right. years old. And even though I know I have to pay him, I would trade down for a litany of picks and I would make all the picks
Joe
around.
Burrow, was Joe Burrow a big-time pick? Because it felt like when Joe Burrow came into the draft, he was can't miss, number one, coming out of LSU.
I was skeptical.
Were you skeptical?
Well, because he had the monster year in LSU, and I was like, oh, they got great receivers. I mean, looking back, you had Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson.
I
didn't know those guys would do what they were going to do in the league, but I was like, that's one of the greatest offenses I've ever seen in college.
Was it
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the other guy?
But, yep, the running back.
I mean, that team on paper was crazy, and it was like one amazing year. And I remember Joel Klatt compared him to Joe Montana, and I was like, that's a little strong.
Yeah, that's a little strong. But you know what?
Looking at it now,
how they love him at LSU, he does remind you of Joe Montana. We watched him at Levi Stadium.
I was just going to say that. That might have been the greatest quarterback performance I've ever seen.
I mean, at Levi Stadium, I just couldn't believe when it was 3rd and 10.
When he optioned
it. And he checked to a quarterback draw, got a first out, and said, all right, this guy is just too much.
He threw a layered ball to the out to Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah. That was one of the perfect balls I've ever seen.
First two plays of the third quarter of that game against the Cincinnati Bengals. He runs a back fade stop. Traverse Ward should have been called for a penalty. He calls the next same route the next play. They get the penalty, and then they're just rolling. Joe Burrow is just something. I mean, to go to Arrowhead Stadium and win, to get knocked out the Super Bowl, the way he got hit in that Super Bowl, and still try to bounce back and lead the Bengals to it. Joe Burrow's that guy. And the hype, maybe the hype was dissipated because you had Tua Tagovailoa there.
True.
You had Justin Herbert there.
Yeah,
think about that.
True.
Think about that draft.
Draft was great.
Because I remember Tua. I couldn't get enough of Tua in Alabama.
The Dolphins took Tua ahead of Justin Herbert.
But you know what, though?
A lot of people. I love Tua, too.
But you know what? Tua's had more success than Justin. Has he not?
How many GMs are taking Tua ahead of Herbert right now?
That's not the question. Sure. Everybody's going to take Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
But Tua's had more success.
Well, let's see.
Both have one playoff start, correct? And both of them took L's.
Yeah, because he didn't start the game.
Skyler Thompson.
But he was the reason why they were in position to get to the playoffs, right? He gets credit for that.
For sure.
And Tyreek has had a generational, unbelievable season.
They had monster years.
Tua's been the trigger man. He's been good. He's been really good. And I just think he's had more success than him. But it is a risk when you take Caleb Williams. And Caleb Williams has a quarterback got into a situation.